here to just share with you what we are doing out there in Sierra Leone. You see, a psychologist tells us that one of the greatest instincts in the being of man is that of self-preservation. And wherever people are found on the face of the earth, they are always afraid of insecurity. And most of our lives has been made up of securing ourselves from sickness, from death, and other things. But there is one, and even national security, you know, but there is one dimension of security to which people pay very little attention. And even most times people do not care about it at all. It is that of spiritual or eternal security. Most times we tend to forget about it. And Paul made a statement to us that when he was talking to Timothy, he said, "I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day." And our Lord Jesus Christ made the greatest statement on this subject when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hands. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Can you imagine if you find yourself in that too powerful grip? No one will be able to remove you out of that grip. And that was why Jesus Christ came. So that he can get us secured. So that he can give us eternal life. That's the best security you and I should be parting after. He came so that we can be properly secure. And it is our responsibility, you and I, to go out. If we have already been secured, we have that charge to go out and bring other people into the fold and get them also secured. And we can do that through mission. That's one way of doing it. Going out and bringing people on board and make sure that they too are in the grips of the Father and the Son, so that they will be assured of the eternal life or eternal security for which all of us are craving after. And Christ came for that, really, to seek and to save that which is lost. And as I've been sharing all around the Great Commission that he gave, he did not give it only to pastors, ministers, but as a general, generally he gave that Great Commission to all of us. We are all supposed to go out and make disciples. But I believe that not all of us, we have the strength. Not all of us physically will be on mission fields. But there are several ways by which you and I, who are unable to go, like Pastor Derek did 3 years ago, you know, there are some of us who cannot be there physically, but there are other means by which we will support those who want to go or those who are already on the field. And I want to throw that challenge to all of us here today, that we have a responsibility and we need to be praying for that. Either to go, or we support people who are going, or we support people who are there. By doing so, directly or indirectly, we are already involved in mission. And my presence here today is just to share with you what we have been doing over the years. The Church of the United Brethren in Christ went to Sierra Leone in 1855, 163 years to be precise. And during that 160 or more years, we have been involved in various ministries, church, education, schools, and other social activities. And through those ministries, we have been bringing people to Christ. And for now, we are working among the Sunni Muslims in the southern part of the country. But as I go through this presentation, it will explain itself. And you see what we are doing. Yep, the next slide, please. Okay, you see, Sierra Leone is located on the west coast of Africa. I cannot see as far that place, so I had to turn behind. Please don't mind me. Sierra Leone is on the west coast of Africa. And you can see our population there is about 7 million people. And then out of that 7 million, we have 16 ethnic groups, different 16 ethnic groups. And the Christian population is about 30%. And we have 65% of Muslims, and we still have people that are practicing the African traditional religion. And so you can see we are still overpowered by the Muslim, even though the country was established on a strong Christian foundation, but today it's been overtaken by Muslims, just as we, those of us who really like, we can see present-day Turkey. That's the map of Sierra Leone. Unfortunately, there is no pointer here. The map of West Africa. Unfortunately, there is no pointer here, but I should have shown you Sierra Leone is in between Liberia and Guinea. We have Guinea on the north, and then we have Liberia on the south and east, and then we have the Atlantic Ocean on the western part of the country. And our goal, as I said, is evangelism, as I was saying, missions. And we do this through one basic tool we have. And for now, that's the only tool we are using to reach out. That is the Jesus Film Ministry. And you can see those pictures are pictures that are taken when we are projecting the film. And the man on the bike there is one of our evangelists. That's the superintendent of evangelism. And you see, because of our roads are so terrible, those who are fortunate to be at the Sunday school this morning, you saw from the Liberia slides, you see those terrible roads. And your pastor, Pastor Derek, could testify also because he had been on those roads about 3 years ago. Yeah. So because we have a lot of rivers and river line area, that's why we use motorbikes to go out and reach these people. So you can see the evangelist there. He has everything on him. The projector, and everything is being loaded on that bike. If you go to the next slide, and you see when we see, you see, this is how we show the Jesus film, because it's making great and great, great of gains out of this film. We just project it, and the system there is solar, present it in any of those villages, and then you see people coming. And after that, the message is being, you know, proclaimed. But one of the things we do, we are not targeting people to bring them to United Brethren churches. And that is why we are working with other denominations. When we get into those interiors, we invite other pastors from other denominations, because our target is to reach people for Christ, not to reach people for United Brethren. That's our aim, to reach people for Christ. And so when they are disciples, it is left with them to go to any Bible-believing church. That's how we present the Jesus film to them. Okay? And another thing we do through this film, after presenting also, we distribute Bibles to people that have been trained, those that have been discipled. We go all out and make sure we ask, make appeal for people to donate Bibles, funds for us to get some Bibles. So that after baptism, after going through their discipleship training, we give them the Bible as talking to go out. That's what we are doing there. And so we always have a Bible project. Next slide. And as you saw just now, you saw the man on the bike. These were some of the bikes that we were able to purchase last year at when you had the director of Global Ministries was talking, you know, at Rose Grove at a camp. And we had two bikes, And we want about 3 more so that we can get the team set for next year. And each of those bikes is going for 1,500. Because you will see, at the next slide, you see what will happen. You see, because of the roads, and so we get these bikes into Kunus. And imagine that. We get them, we load them on those boats and get them across the river so that this team can go out and reach the people. Because they are where we are operating, it is very difficult most times to get vehicles across because there are no bridges in some of those areas. And so you have to go through this kind of thing. So that is why the motorcycles are more and very more important to us in evangelism, in reaching out. These are the statistics. You can see out there, the film ministry, the Jesus film, the film that was shown this 2018, it was shown in 43 villages, and then we have 8,447 viewers in total. And adult viewers were about 4,479. Youths were 2,880. And children were 1,088. And we got 796 people baptized this year. 796 people. Out of that film. And then those that went to various UBC churches all over from those areas that the film was shown, we are 316. Others, as I said earlier, we are not reaching them just for UBC. Others went into other Bible-believing churches. Because in our communities, we have the Baptists, we have the Wesleyans, we have the MCAs, and we have other evangelical denominations around. We always just tell them, you can go to any Bible-believing church. Okay, that's our position. And so, the cost to run this Jesus film for the whole year is 4,000. And this, when we divide this one, is that we use 1,000 per quarter, every quarter, you know, for fuel, logistics, and other things for the team to move out. That is what is needed. And then the Gambia, I was just sharing, for over 6 years now, we have already been in Liberia. As I said, we went to Sierra Leone in 1855, and UBC had only been in that small, tiny country in West Africa. And so we tried very hard. Our presence is now in Liberia. And because we have been there, we are also planning to move, because we want to spread, we want our presence to be, you know, to be felt in the other countries along the west coast of Africa, because they are very close to us. And so our next target in 2019 is to move to the Gambia. The Gambia is another Muslim-dominated country. Okay, like Guinea. But they too are so small, in fact, smaller than Sierra Leone. And we have been there, we've already done the survey, and we want to move with a team there come March. That is what we are preparing for. And that is what it will cost us, because to fly a whole team to the Gambia will cost us a lot. So what we do, we go on road, like we did when Pastor Derek went to Sierra Leone. He can testify, he went through the roads from Liberia to Sierra Leone. So for us, it could cost a little bit lesser than flying a whole team into another country. And so it will cost us about $3,000 to reach this country for a start. And what involves in that, if you look down here, you see that the vehicle that you saw now when the Director of Global Ministries was speaking, at the first slide before this, the first slide that was shown before this, you saw the vehicle. Pastor Derek was in that vehicle, and I was their driver. Yes, I was driving them through that terrible road. And as I said last time when I came, we were able to get an engine for it. And I think that engine was bought by a member here, yeah, for which we are grateful. And again, now, this vehicle is still packed, because after that trip, we had a lot of problems. It's only now we are detecting it. It is still packed, and we need a gearbox, a second-handed gearbox for it. As a, you call it the transmission. Yeah, that's what we need for it now. So that when it is going for 1,500, we get it there, second-handed one, we get it fixed, and then the vehicle will start functioning properly again. And that is the vehicle we want to use to go to the Gambia, because by that we can get all the team into it. If we say we are taking a team of 4 or 5 members into the Gambia, The air ticket alone will cost us over $10,000. But then if we have $10,000, I mean, but if we have our own vehicle, which will just be about $1,500 to get it fixed, that will take us, and we get another $1,500 for gas, another logistics, that will take us safely to the Gambia to start the work there. Some time back, we have a ministry in Matru. You may have heard about Matru Jom. We have a hospital in Matru. We have a school in Matru called Centennial Secondary School. It has been there for over 50 years now. The missionaries went there about, over 50 years ago. They established a hospital there and then a secondary school there. And there are lots and lots of missionaries that have gone there from North America here and Canada that have worked at the Matru Hospital. We have been facing problems with this hospital during the war or after the war and also after the war. A lot of destructions took place there. And most of the things were destroyed. But we have fought so hard. We have been fighting very hard and have been developing and rehabilitating these structures again. Previously, before this time, when we had operations in the theater, there was no light, no power at the hospital. It will interest you to know that, most times the doctors and the nurses will be in the theater doing, surgery, and then the light will just go off like that. Or most times, they will ask the patient's relatives to go out and bring gasoline or diesel for the generator before they can do any surgery. But we came out by the grace of God. We met with a very good donor who went to Matru. He saw the need and he donated a solar system there for us. And as I speak now, we have light. And those are some of the solar panels. We have about 380 of those panels. I think that's the second largest solar plant now in the country for which we have started working on. But the only problem we have, you go to the next slide, you can see those are the batteries and the inverters we have. The only problem that we have is that we have two seasons in Sierra Leone. We have the rainy season and the dries. Okay? And during the dries, we have enough power to supply light. And during the rains, we don't have enough. And so what we are appealing for now is for us to have a backup generator so that during the rainy season, that generator will give power and we'll be able to charge the batteries before we receive light. So that's one of the things we are praying for, so that we can get backup generator for us to continue the program. And at the hospital, for those who have been there, it's a very cute and very big land that we have, property there. And we have on that land the hospital itself, and we have a nursing school. We are training nurses too. And we have over 300 student nurses in training in Matru. It's a teaching school for the hospital. And we train the nurses. Some of them work at the hospital. Some of them find their way also. And there also we have a church, and we have quarters, staff quarters for our hospital staff. And we also have a nursery school there. But as I said, over these years, this had been a private property. But now we are negotiating with the family, the land-owning family, and they have decided to sell whole land to us for that cost. And that is another thing for which we are praying, so that we can own the land for ourselves. This is just part of Matru Hospital. It's a very big hospital, but this is just part of the hospital that I want you to see. And all of those, these are just some of the structures on the hospital. As I speak, we have an American doctor there now on contract with his wife, and then a nurse from Michigan, Pam McCray. They are working with us closely. And we have other nationals from Nigeria and elsewhere with our own nationals that are working together at a hospital. This is the secretariat also, as you heard just now from the, you saw this structure also from the last slide that was shown. And you heard the director of global ministry talking about this structure. In that structure, that one is the office. It's our national office of the church. The bishop's office is there, and the superintendent's office are there. And then part of that structure is being used also as a church. We have a church there. And then at the back of that structure, we have a school. We have a school there, Kande Town School. I was trying to connect that school at one time, 3 years ago, I think, with a school here. And that building was destroyed during the war, part of it. And a lot of destruction took place there. And now we are not together. We are not working there any longer. I stay in Freetown, the capital city, and I have to travel every week twice, about 150 miles, to get to Bo and meet with the staff there, do other things, and then I go back. I do that almost twice every week. And we are trying to restructure or rehabilitate the structure so that all of us can get under the same roof and start and stop that going and coming back. So that is what it will cost us just to finish the structure. Next slide. And education, as I said, is another ministry we are undertaking. Quite recently, the new government we have about 4 or 5 months ago have come up with what the president calls the free and quality education. We own the schools, let me say, the missions own the school, because it was the missionaries that took education to Sierra Leone. And so most of the schools in the country belong to missions, various missions, like the UBC, you will see from the slide there, we have our 62 primary schools and 9 secondary schools. And there are other denominations also that have schools all over the place. But then previously, these schools were taken from us. Well, now the new government have returned the schools to us. But we have a series of problems we are facing with. For now, the president is paying fees for over 2 million kids. It's free, and he's providing some textbooks and exercise books. And he's saying, okay, here are your schools. You started these schools, take them back, and try to restructure them or rehabilitate them. But as I said, we have a lots and lots and lots of the schools. We cannot do them all at a go. And we have started working on some of them. And we want to look at them one after the other when we are done with this structure, and then we move into another one. And so you see, most of them are dilapidated. That is one of our structure. This is a school in our second largest city in Bo. It's a primary school. You can see the kids standing right there in that kind of structure. It's going down. It's dilapidated. And what we are doing, we are making mud blocks to put them up. So just make appeal to people to just donate to us a zinc so we can get them covered, because we are going to do the same thing. Some of these structures have been there for over 30 or 40 years or so. And they are mud buildings. And now they are becoming dead traps for our kids. So you can see from that, that's just one of the schools. And we have 62 of these. You can see, it's a UBC, Jusu Memorial United Brethren Primary School, New London, Bo. And we need 15 bundles of zinc to get the school covered so that one day we'll not get any problem. And that's what we're avoiding. Before I came here, I gave that instruction. They are making up the mud blocks, so that when we get the structure, we'll pull this one down and get a new structure, and then we'll try to zinc it. And we'll be doing that one after the other, okay? This is a new school. This is a part of the program, okay? And this is a Pujon project. This one was supported last year when I came at Rose Grove. Funds were raised so that we can get the school completed. And it is ready for use. And part of it also is being used as a church. Interestingly, why we have interest in this school is because this school is established among the Sunni people, the Sunni Muslims in Pujon. You know that, you know the story. And so one of the pastors here, Pastor Michael March at Bethel House of the Lord in Cumberland, went to Sierra Leone. And when he went there, we took him to Pujon, and he saw for himself and he said, oh, this one will be a very good ministry. And so we started working among the Sunni Muslims there. Now we have a school in their midst. And I usually say, one of the things we do, one of the approach we take to reach out these Muslims is to use their kids, their children. When we give them Christian education, we bring them to the church, and then we teach them when they go home. And that is how we are getting some of them into our church in that community. When the kids go home, whatever they tell them, they say, no, this was not what we are told at school. This one is not correct. This was what they told us. And so most of them are coming to us asking questions. My child went home and then he or she told me that, no, this was what you said. And they'll say, yes, this is correct. And we are working together. And for now, we have a little bit over 200 children in that school. Okay? Training of pastors. Again, this is another thing we make appeal for. I was talking this morning at the Sunday school. If you are a teacher, you are a pastor, there will be times you just want to take time off and say, well, let me go out and see what is happening. You know, you talk to us. You can talk to Pastor Derek, and then he will direct you what you to do. You can make a trip to Sierra Leone, like for 1 or 2 weeks. We can get you involved or engaged in our schools. We can get you engaged in our hospital if you are a nurse or a medical practitioner. We can get you engaged. We have several programs. If you are a social worker, we can get you engaged. As I speak, 3 of our old missionaries from Canada will be going in February. When I came here, they showed interest in going to Sierra Leone. They'll be going in February. And one of them had been there during the 60s, Audrey Federline. Then she's going back to see people. She's going back to train the young girls in our schools. She used to be a mathematics teacher also at Centennial Secondary School in Metro. And so if you want to be involved in that kind of trip, you can get to a pastor who will direct you. And so we are training, giving our local pastors training, because most times when we take them from the rural communities and get them into the urban communities to be trained, most of them will not want to go back. You see, because of the economic power, they want to stay. And then because when they stay in urban areas, they were able to get jobs and then take care of their family. Okay, it may not be their fault at times, but we have seen all of this, and we are getting, you know, to a point that we say, well, let us go and meet them and train them in their communities so that we can get them to stay. That is why we are having this train and multiply. Okay, and now that's why we're having train and multiply. So we want to start our own institution in the provinces so we can get our pastors trained by ourselves. When we train them in their communities, they will stay there and work in the community. You can see the picture that our superintendent also, we have started already. He's on the training some of the local pastors and some lay people. Last year, as I said, when I was here, some of these projects, though not all, but some of them were supported, for which I want to be grateful to the churches here in North America, and especially to those of you who donated to some of our projects, like the solar and water package. Like we are now paying staff salary at the Matru Hospital. It used to be very difficult. We are totally dependent on donors to pay staff salary at the hospital. But now, because of the solar and water package project, we have light at the hospital, and then we sell some light to the community. And then we package water and sell it out to the community and beyond. And so the income, we use that income to pay our staff salary. So for which we are so grateful. I want to be thankful. And also for the support of our missionaries. There are people who are donating towards that cause. They are paying, you know, all and logistics for them. And also for the school project at Pujom, the bikes for evangelism, and the Bibles, and the engine for the vehicle, and then the vibe project at Sulima, and then the trip that I usually make to U.S., I want to be grateful to people that donated and just say thanks on behalf of the conference. And you can see for prayer points, these are the things that we outlined for now. These are our needs that we are praying for. You can see the secretariat building and what it's involved. And then the motorbikes for evangelism. We need 3 bikes more. One is going for 1,500. That includes registration and all the like. And then the land the hospital land, and then reaching the Gambia. I'm stressing the Gambia because we want to go into more countries in West Africa. We have targeted, that has been our target for the next 5-6 years. If we go to the Gambia by next year, and we'll make sure by God's grace we succeed, we'll try to find another location. Because we don't want United Brethren to be just in Sierra Leone, as it has been. We are now in Liberia, and when we go to the Gambia, by God's grace, next year I'll be around reporting on what we have done in the Gambia. And that is why we are stressing, if we have the gearbox for the vehicle or transmission being fixed, then we start from there. And that will make our work a little bit easier. And also Bibles for believers. And also the zinc for the school and training of pastors. And then the Jesus film. These are the things that we are praying for. And these are the things that we want to do by next year. Like going to the Gambia, we have set March as our target. We want to be there March 2019. Because we have done the survey already. To get the whole team there. That is why the gearbox or the transmission for the vehicle is so urgent for us, which we are praying for. So with that, I want to thank you for giving me your ears. Except if you have questions or clarifications, then I will make them. Pastor?